Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, our Bibles are open to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to consider His assignment. Here's Paul Chappell.
We are living in a day that stresses little in the areas of responsibility and accountability. It's hard to find responsible people in the workplace, and it's hard to find people who want to be accountable for their actions on a daily basis. Now, we could cite many reasons for this shift in philosophy. Some would cite the dysfunctional family and the fact that many young people are not being trained with a responsibility, accountability mentality from a very early age. Some would cite the proliferation of New Age teaching, philosophy that decimates biblical values and ridicules biblical absolutes. For example, Oprah Winfrey began promoting a year-long course entitled The New Age Christ. Her text for the course is a book entitled A Course in Miracles. In your notes this morning, I've listed some of the statements from this textbook recommended by Oprah. Some of the statements in the book are as follows. There is no sin. A slain Christ has no meaning. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Quote, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. Quote, the name of Jesus Christ as such is but a symbol. It is a symbol that is safely used as a replacement for the many names of all the gods to which you pray. Now, it is no surprise that many Hollywood figures are going full bore into New Age psychology and teaching. It is no surprise that many of them believe in reincarnation and other such Eastern philosophies. But the fact of the matter is that if there is no sin, if there is no Jesus Christ, if there is no time to die and then stand before the Lord, then there is the removal of the eternal absolutes of the Word of God and the accountability factor that is so clearly taught in the Word of God. In fact, my friend, if there is no sin, then we need no Savior. If we need no Savior, we need not meet here. We might as well all go home, because this is all about celebrating Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. That's why we're here today. You see, Jesus Christ literally shed redemptive blood and rose again on the third day in order that we might have the redemption of our sin. In fact, the Bible teaches that He will literally return to this earth someday and gather His children unto Himself. Well, it's in this passage we learn something about that this morning. And in this passage we learn that there is something called the kingdom of heaven. There is something called the kingdom of heaven to which all of the born again will be gathered someday. And we have in the parabolic teachings of Jesus pictures that let the light of truth in through the window of our understanding. And we learn here that the term kingdom of heaven refers to the whole of the redeemed of God. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." And so there is going to be a day of accountability, and there is the truth that we must be born again. Now then, as we consider his assignment to those who are a part of his kingdom, I want you to recognize that every one of us have been given a stewardship. We have been given a responsibility in this life. And we learn from the parable today that one day we will be called into accountability for our faithfulness as his stewards in kingdom work. Now notice, if you would, this morning in our outline, the Lord's assignment. The Lord's assignment. And I want you to see this in the parable, Matthew 25, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave one 5 talents and another 2 and another 1. Now, in this parable, we see a picture of the assignment that all of us receive and of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's assignment is seen, first of all, in delegated responsibility. The Lord calls 3 men to himself, and he delegates responsibility to each of them. Now, last week we learned that God is the owner of all things, and we are the steward of that which he gives to us. And we learned that owners have rights, and stewards have responsibilities. Owners have the rights, stewards have the responsibility. In the parable, the Lord, who has the rights and the ownership, gives the talents or the treasures to those whom he is entrusting to be wise with what he has given to them. Thus, we could say that stewardship is partnership with God. When God entrusts us with our children, with our possessions, with our jobs, with all of these things, he is saying, "I want you to do a good job with that which I have given to you." And I want you to notice the Bible says there in verse 14, he called his own servants. He calls his own unto himself. And the word there in the Greek is the word doulos. It means a bond servant. These were men who had said, "I know that I could have my freedom, but I give myself back to you as my master. I am your bond servant." Make no mistake about it this morning. We do what we do for the Lord because of what he has done for us. When we consider Christ and the work of Calvary, then as his children, as we do kingdom work, we say, "I do this as the bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." No one twists my arm to go to church. No one twists my arm to give to the Lord. I am glad that I can be his servant. It is my privilege to be his servant. For the Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." My friend, if you are a son or daughter of God, then he has given to you a responsibility. He says, "Here's some talents. Here's some blessings. I want you to do something special with them." We see a delegated responsibility. But notice, secondly, we see a deliberate requirement. We see a deliberate requirement. Verse 15, he says unto the one with 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Now we see the Lord giving talents. And the requirement was they were to take these talents and be wise with them. The talents were weighed gold or silver. And we too are assigned blessings from the Lord. And while the proportion of the gifts is different, one received 5, one received 2, one received 1, everyone's loyalty is to be the same. All of us are blessed differently, but all of us must lovingly and loyally honor the Lord and remember the Lord as we invest and as we live in this life. Now notice a few things about the talents. I believe these are in your notes this morning. First, talents are from the Lord. Talents or treasure are from the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:17 is in your notes. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. How many of you start to get the idea from the Bible? Everything we have is on loan from Almighty God. God is the giver of all good gifts. The talents are from the Lord. In the parable, the Lord called his servants and the Lord gave the talents. Now, this reminds me of a friend of mine who took his son out to McDonald's, and they were going to go have a father-son talk. And so they went in and ordered a couple Cokes, and then they ordered for the son some French fries. He said, "Dad, I'd like to have some French fries." And so they went down and sat down at a table. And after a little while, the father kind of smelled those French fries. How many of you can smell them right now? Those French fries, they smell good, don't they? And the father looked over there and he grabbed one of those big old McDonald's French fries, dipped it in some ketchup and ate it. Right as he was about to eat it, the son said, "Hey, that's my French fry." And the dad said, "You know, he forgot something very important. I bought that French fry." And isn't it amazing how sometimes the Lord gives us so many things and then he says, "You know, I'd like a French fry." And we say, hey, that's mine. But in reality, it's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord's, you see. Every single one of us have received talents that belong to the Lord. The talents are from the Lord. The talents are given, secondly, according to ability. According to ability. Notice that in verse 15, the Bible says, according to his several ability. God gives according to our ability to return and to be wise. And you see, the master wanted a return on his investment. Essentially, God says, "Look, I'm going to give you the raw material. I want you to do something with it. I'm going to give you certain talents and abilities. It may be your children. It may be your job. It may be a promotion. It may be an inheritance. It may be some blessing." God says, "I'm giving this to you, and I'm giving it to you according to your ability to bring a return and to be wise with it." I heard of two businessmen who were talking, and one said to the other, "Who's watching your portfolio these days?" And his friend said, "Well, I'd say the tidy bowl man has a pretty good view of it right now." Sometimes we feel like that's how our investments have gone. But God says, "I want you to be wise. I want you to seek to bring a return in what I have given to you." It's from the Lord. It's according to our ability. Notice thirdly, the talents require accountability. The talents require accountability. Verse 19, notice what it says. "After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Now, the word "reckoneth" means to settle the accounts. There is a reckoning, and the Lord returns. And the Bible says in Matthew 18:23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required of servants that a man be found faithful." God says, "I want my stewards to be faithful." And so the Lord's assignment is very clear. God says, "Now, I'm calling you, my servants, not the other crowd. I'm calling my crowd." And he says, "I'm calling you, and I'm giving to you some blessings. And my assignment to you is that you are a wise steward of these blessings that I have given to you. Because after all, I'm the owner. I have the rights over them. You're the steward, and you're to be a wise steward with what I have given to you." By the way, how many of you thank God for the blessings he's given to you this morning? Showers of blessings he's poured upon every single one of us. Notice secondly now, not only the Lord's assignment, but let's see the Lord's assessment. The Lord's assessment. Notice verse 16. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 and also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Now there are 2 assessments made by the Lord. First of all, we see an assessment of wisdom, an assessment of a wise man, or really 2 men. Notice the assessment of wisdom found there in verse number 16. "They traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. The word "traded" means they did business over a period of time, and they were wise with what God gave to them. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." These were men who watched their work. They were diligent. No doubt they prayed. No doubt they were careful in their planning. No doubt they kept their budget on order. No doubt they were very cautious in the way they invested this money. And these, according to the word of God, were wise men, and the assessment is an assessment of wisdom. Now, I believe there are four ways to multiply the talents God gives to us. I've placed those in the bulletin this morning. First of all, I believe we need to work diligently. I believe a Christian should be the best employer at the job. I mean on time. I mean with a good attitude. I mean trustworthy. We ought to work diligently. Secondly, I believe we need to steward efficiently. Study those major purchases and seek to do our best with interest rates. And we need to do our very best in stewarding efficiently. Thirdly, we need to invest wisely. I'm so proud of many of the young couples in our church right now who are looking at low interest rates and looking at the opportunity to be wise investors. Many have sought counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor and strong men retain riches. Learn how to invest wisely. And then fourthly, if you will multiply your talents, learn how to give generously. The Bible says in Luke 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. God has given a principle of sowing and reaping in his word. In other words, a Christian is to find himself as a believer. God wants us not to be a reservoir holding everything, but a river letting it go in order that the kingdom work might be advanced. God says, I don't want you to simply be someone that is a container. I want you to be a channel of my blessing. And so a wise steward understands that principle. You see, the fact of the matter is today, every one of us need to trade or invest wisely. William Kraft said, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. What a blessing it is to give cheerfully to the Lord. But notice, secondly, they traded respectfully. I want you to see something in verse 20. And so he that received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, notice this, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Now this guy had it right. He said, Lord, you're the one that brought this to me. Lord, you're the one that gave this to me, and I have respectfully honored what you have given to me. He did it as unto the Lord. Many of you have heard the story of missionary Jim Elliott. He was a missionary in South America to the Alca Indians. A few days before he was killed by the headhunting tribe in South America, he wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible these words, a man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. He was a man totally yielded to the Lord, respecting and honoring the Lord in all that he did. Now, some people work to make money, and that's good. Some people make money work for them, and that's good. Some people make money work for eternity, and that is the best. Notice in your notes there, Matthew 6:19, what it says, right from the Word of God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Notice this last verse, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. You see, God knows that where our heart is and where our treasure is are going to be simultaneous. It is a vital principle in the Word of God. And I believe the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our giving. The more we are in love with the Lord, the more consistent we want to express, more consistently we want to express that love. And so as the Lord comes to these stewards, he gives an assessment of wisdom. And he says to the one who had five talents, you did a good job. And the one who had two talents, you did a good job. Both of them had multiplied that investment. But notice, if you would, an assessment of foolishness. There was one man who typifies a very foolish man. And in verse 18, the Bible says, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now notice the waste of the foolish. Here is a representation of those who neglect the abilities that God has given. Those who perhaps are slothful in stewardship, never making a budget, never thinking in matters of stewardship, never being faithful to the Word of God. Proverbs 18:9 says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, the fact of the matter is that many of us in our lives, if we're honest, we probably have in this room here a couple $1,000s in every garage of just stuff that probably we weren't as wise as we could have been when we first made the investment. Americans have been so blessed, but we are not always wise with that blessing. Reminds me of the story of William Randolph Hearst calling one of his agents to himself. And he said, I want you to come here for a moment. He said, I have a piece of art that I want to find. He says, it's a rare piece and there's no price that I will not pay. I want you to go find this piece of art. Well, the agent went around the world trying to find it. And he went to Europe and he went to places in Asia looking all over. He finally came back and he had to report to Mr. Hearst. He said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't buy that piece of art. William Randolph Hearst said, what do you mean I can't buy that piece of art? He said, I need to inform you, sir, it's in your basement. You already own it. Folks, the fact of the matter is God has been so good to us. And yet many times we waste what he has given to us. And this is a challenge to be wise stewards with all that God has given. Notice the excuses of the foolish in verse number 25. Notice what he says. He says, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. You see, instead of stewarding, he lived with the spirit of fear and he began to make excuses. I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because God does not want us making excuses like this unwise steward made. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. Notice the mind God wants us to have. It's not a spirit of fear. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, God speaks to this issue of stewardship and giving. Notice what he says here. For if there be first a willing mind. Now notice the man who was unwise, he didn't have a willing mind. He just buried what God gave him. He says, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now look right here. God's not going to judge you. He's not going to call you into account for something you never had. But he says, for what you have been given, I am going to call you into an account. Notice verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. In other words, he said there were a lot of churches giving to the offering spoken of here in 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm not asking every person to give the same. You see, the motto is this, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And he said, the fact is everybody has a different gift, but everybody should do their best with what they have. And the unwise steward had not done his best with the little that he had. And so we see the Lord's assessment. Two men were wise, one man was foolish. Now, as we come to this passage, we see the Lord's assignment. Here's some stewardship responsibilities. We see the Lord's assessment. But I want you to see with me finally this morning, the Lord's acknowledgement. What does the Lord finally acknowledge concerning these men? Verse number 19, notice what it says. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now let's read that together. Ready, begin. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Notice his faithful acknowledgement. And I want you to keep this in mind, folks. The Lord will return. Please bear that in mind. That's what this message is all about. The Lord will return. And the journey mentioned in verse 9 seems to imply the space between the first advent and the second advent. That is, from the time Jesus was born until the time he comes again at his second coming, there is a period known as the church age or the age of grace, which we are living in now. And at the end of this age, the Lord will return. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin, trust Him as your Savior, and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.